بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله ومن اهتدى بهديه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير وقال تبارك وتعالى إذ يغشى السدرة ما يغشى ما زاغ البصر وما طغى لقد رأى من آيات ربه الكبرى صدق الله العظيم Honorable علماء الكرام, respected elders and beloved brothers in Islam, if we have to analyze the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we find that whenever an opportunity arose where he could teach the Sahaba radiallahu anhum some lesson of deen, where there was some knowledge that Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam could impart to them, then the Nabi of Allah would seize the moment, he would grasp the opportunity, and he would divert the hearts and the minds of Sahaba away from dunya and connect them to Allah Rabbul Izzah and the Akhirat. Quran speaks about the occasion of the battle of Tabuk. فَرِحَ الْمُخَلَّفُونَ بِمَقْعَدِهِمْ خِلَافَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ When a group of hypocrites had absconded, stayed behind from the delegation that was leaving for battle, and they began to convince the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, لَا تَنْفِرُوا فِي الْحَرِّ That, O Sahaba, it is the summer season. The heat is scorching. What are you going to gain by going forward in the path of Allah? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not tackle them head on. But he seizes the opportunity to divert the minds of Sahaba towards the Akhirat. He says to them, "Naru jahannama ashaddu harra." O my companions, if you fear the heat of this world, the heat of the fire of Jahannam is even more severe. On another occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sends a delegation towards Najd. And after returning, one Sahabi passes a remark. He says, "Ma ra'ayna ba'athan asra'a raj'atan wala afdala ghanimatan." That never in my life have I seen a delegation return so quickly, accomplish their task with such ease, yet return with so much of reward. Again, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam seizes the opportunity. He says, O my Sahaba, ala adullukum ala qawmin asra'a raj'atan wa afdala ghanimatan. Shall I not tell you about another group of people? They accomplish their task even faster than the first group, yet they return with more reward than them. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, of course, tell us who are they. Perhaps we can join them and benefit also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, قَوْمٌ شَهِدُوا صَلَاةَ الصُّبْحِ ثُمَّ جَلَسُوا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَتَّى طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّمْسِ That group of people who wake up early in the morning and come to the masjid for Fajr Salah. And then they sit in their places remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أُولَٰئِكَ أَسْرَعُ رَجْعَةً وَأَفْضَلُ غَنِيمَةً This group, they accomplish their task even faster than the first group. Yet they return home with more reward than them. The first group came back with some paltry gains of this world. This group comes back with the reward of the Akhirat. So whenever there was an opportunity, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would seize the moment and he would divert the hearts and the minds of Sahaba towards the Akhirat. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His infinite wisdom and mercy has given us the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also these opportunities and moments where we can divert, we can remove our hearts from being engrossed in this world and attach our hearts to the masjid, to the deen of Allah, to the hereafter. And therefore every year on the night of 27th of Rajab we hear the miraculous incident of the Isra and Mi'raj. The journey that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took His Nabi on, a journey beyond imagination, a journey out of this world, literally and figuratively, physically and spiritually out of this world. From the onset, my respected brothers and elders, it is very important for us to understand that Allah has not made the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a ritualistic ummah. And therefore, if we look into the vast narrations that speak about the incident of Isra and Mi'raj, we find that great detail has been captured and preserved. Regarding when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam left his home, the entire journey to Al-Baytul Maqdis, the journey into the heavens, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam witnessed there, Yet, if we look into all these narrations, we will not find any record of the exact day and date of the Mi'raj. The great scholar of Hadith, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah, mentions more than 10 views with regard to the day and the date of the Mi'raj. And Mufti Shafi Sahib, rahimahullah, sums it up beautifully. He says that although the 27th of Rajab has become famous, and people have generally regarded this to be the date of Mi'raj, but those scholars who dedicated their lives to the study of Hadith, they did not settle upon any date. Remember, my respected brothers and elders, this is not something that is just by chance. It is not an oversight on the side of Sahaba. Those individuals who were haris, they were eager. They were desirous to capture every last detail related to them. Yet the day and the date was not recorded. Why? What lesson is being taught to us? That this ummah is not ritualistic. The ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not confine and restrict their deen to a certain time or place. Unlike the Jews and the Christians, the day of Saturday or the day of Sunday, that is the time and place restricted for their worship. But the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not give importance to days and dates. So that every year when the date of my birth comes, it does not become an occasion of merrymaking, an occasion of celebration. But what is the lesson behind it? What is the blessing of Allah behind it? Nevertheless, great detail has been recorded. The narration of Anas radiallahu anhu appears in Bukhari Sharif. One narration says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the home of Ummu Hani radiallahu anha. Second narration says he was in the Hatim next to the Kaaba. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah ties up these two. He says, initially Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asleep in his home. إِذْ أَتَانِي آتٍ Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam appears in front of him. He transports the Nabi of Allah to the haram. There he falls asleep once again. He is again awakened by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he proceeds to split the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, every detail recorded and preserved. مِنْ ثُغْرَتِهِ إِلَى شَعْرَتِهِ Where to where was this incision made? Beneath the throat till below the navel. Then a goblet, a golden goblet which is full of iman and wisdom. One narration says full of zamzam. This is brought. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam washes the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His heart is filled with iman and wisdom. And then it is put back into his chest and it is stitched up. Then a conveyance is brought, again the details recorded and preserved. What is the color? White in color. What is the size of this conveyance? دون البغل فوق الحمار. Smaller than a mule, larger than a donkey. The reaction of this conveyance when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attempts to mount it is also recorded. It begins to jump about in anticipation, in excitement. The greatest of Allah's creation is about to sit on top of me. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam scolds the Buraq. Don't you know that no creation greater than this man has ever sat on top of your back? Be still, allow the Nabi of Allah to mount you. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam gets on top of the Buraq. One narration suggests Jibreel alayhi salam sits behind him. And the Isra begins from Al-Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarrama to Al-Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. Again, the details of this journey preserved and recorded. Somewhere along the way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is made to stop. He gets off the conveyance, he performs two rakats of salah. He asks Jibreel, what is this place? He says, this is Yathrib. In other words, Medina Munawwara. This is the place that you and your companions will migrate to. They get back on the conveyance, they proceed. Somewhere again, he is made to get off. He performs two rakats of salah once again. Oh Jibreel, where are we? This is Sayna, the valley of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Again he gets back on the conveyance, they proceed. A third stop, O Jibreel, where are we? This is Madian, the land of Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam. A fourth stop, O Jibreel, where are we? This is Baytul Laham, the birthplace of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Every detail meticulously recorded and preserved. Something that happened 1400 years ago. If we ask ourselves, ask one another, what did you have for breakfast yesterday? Who will remember? Leave alone last week or the month before. But every detail of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this miraculous incident preserved in the books of hadith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam reaches al-Masjid al-Aqsa. And he needs to tie the buraq. One narration says he ties it to an iron hook that was on the wall of al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Another narration says Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam digs a hole in the wall. And the buraq is then tied. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam enters the masjid. He performs two rakats tahiyyatul masjid. And then he sees an entire congregation lined up waiting for the imam to lead them in salah. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam pushes Nabi of Allah forward. He is made to lead the salah. After the salah completes, he asks, "Oh Jibreel, who are these people?" He says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, this is the galaxy of Anbiya who have come to meet you." Finally, the time has come for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam to ascend into the heavens. One narration says the buraq is once again commissioned for this journey. Second narration says a special ladder is brought, made of gold, decorated with rubies and precious stones. Anas radiallahu anhu says the same ladder that a person who is about to leave this world, as his soul departs and he begins to look upwards, he is also shown this ladder to proceed to the hereafter. Jibreel ascends with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He reaches as-sama'u dunya, the sky of the earth. فَاسْتَفْتَحَ جِبْرِيلُ Jibreel asks permission to enter. The angel who is in charge asks, مَنْ هَذَا Who is this? This is Jibreel. مَنْ مَعَكَ Who is with you? It is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has permission been given to him? Yes, permission has been given to him. The angel welcomes him. مَرْحَبًا بِهِ فَنِعْمَ الْمَجِيءُ جَاءُ Welcome, welcome to him. What a wonderful guest has arrived. He goes through as-sama'u al-dunya, he reaches as-sama'u al-ula, the first heaven. And here he meets a man who is introduced as Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, time does not permit us to go into the details. But the description of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam is also mentioned in some narrations. When he sees Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he greets him. Marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabiyyi salih. Welcome to a righteous man and a righteous Nabi. He leaves the first sky, he goes to the second sky. Again, Jibreel asks permission. Who is there? It is Jibreel. Who is with you? Muhammad. Has permission been given to him? He enters the second heaven. There he meets Isa and Yahya alayhim as-salatu wasalam. Again, they greet him. Marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabiyyi salih. Welcome to a righteous man, a righteous Nabi. He then goes to the third heaven. He meets Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabiyyi salih. He goes to the fourth heaven, the same question and answer, the same greeting. There he meets Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Fifth heaven, Nabi Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. Sixth heaven, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And then something strange happens. As he is about to leave the sixth heaven, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam begins to cry. Ma yubkika ya Musa, O Musa, why are you crying? He says, لِأَنَّ غُلَامًا بُعِثَ مِن بَعْدِي يَدْخُلُ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ أَكْثَرُ مَنْ يَدْخُلُهَا مِنْ أُمَّتِي He says, I am crying because a young man like you has been commissioned as a Nabi after me. And so many people from his ummah will enter Jannah, the like of which will not enter from my ummah. Glad tiding is given to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are abna'ul akhirah. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu would say, اِرْتَحَلَتِ الدُّنْيَا مُدْبِرَةً The world has already started its journey departing from us. وَارْتَحَلَتِ الْآخِرَةُ مُقْبِلَةً The hereafter has already began its journey coming closer towards us. وَلِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمَا بَنُونَ Each one of these two, the world and the hereafter, has children. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ Make sure you are counted amongst the children of the hereafter. وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ And then he would caution his friends and his people. And say that today you have a chance to make amal. Today you have a chance to prepare for the life of that world. And there is no accountability here. But tomorrow for غَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ There will be no opportunity left to practice before Allah. But every person will be accountable for the actions he did in this world. Glad tiding is given the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such large numbers will enter Jannah. Nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam proceeds. He reaches the seventh heaven. And there he meets Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam. Again, Great detail has been captured and preserved in the ahadith. Marhaban bil akhi salih wa nabiyyi salih. Welcome, O my righteous brother, righteous Nabi. And then he goes beyond As-Sama'u Sabi'a. And he reaches what is called As-Sidratul Muntaha. The lot tree which has been kept at such a place that no creation of Allah has ever gone beyond this. Again, the hadith records the description. فَإِذَا نِبْقُهَا مِثْلُ قِلَالِ هَجَرٍ وَوَرَقُهَا مِثْلُ آذَانِ الْفِيَلَ عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ كَالْغِرْبَانِ. The fruit of the tree of Muntaha, of Sidratul Muntaha, what is the size of the fruit? As large as the jars that were produced in Hajar. What is the size of the leaves? وَوَرَقُهَا مِثْلُ آذَانِ الْفِيَلَ. As large as the ears of elephants. Who occupies the branches of this tree? عَلَيْهَا مَلَائِكَةٌ كَالْغِرْبَانِ. Angels who are in the form of crows and ravens. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown four rivers. Two rivers of Jannah, two rivers of this world. Again, the names of these rivers have been recorded. An-Nilu wal-Furat, the Nile and the Euphrates River. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taken on a tour of Jannah and Jahannam. Great detail has been recorded in the ahadith. Time does not allow us to go into it. But this entire miraculous journey, my respected brothers and elders, as I mentioned, a journey beyond imagination. A journey out of this world for what? What is the objective? The hadith of Bukhari Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, ثُمَّ فُرِضَتْ عَلَيَّ الصَّلَاةِ. Then salah is enjoined upon me and my ummah. If Allah wanted, He could have sent Jibreel to this world, O Nabi of Allah, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. You and your ummah establish salah just as He did for zakat, just as He did for fasting in the month of Ramadan, just as He did for the amal of hajj, just as He did for the prohibition of wine, and every other command and prohibition that Allah sent down into this world. But when it came to the amal of salah, that was not enough. It had to be a journey out of this world. Why? What lesson is the ummah being taught? That if you will perform your salah, you also will travel out of this world. The benefits you will receive will also be beyond imagination. To understand, my respected brothers and elders, what did salah mean to the Sahaba-i-Kiram? They understood the miraculous event of Mi'raj. Every year we hear the details what happened on the occasion of Mi'raj, but what is the lesson behind it? Ulama give an example, a young girl gets proposed and married. And after a few weeks, she begins to feel ill. She goes for some blood tests. And the results come back, the khush khabri. The glad tidings is given to her. You have conceived. You are now expecting a child. Ask any woman who has been given the good news. Her life is never the same. Her routine begins to change. Her body begins to change. Her appetite begins to change. The morning sickness will begin. The headaches will start. The vomiting will start. She can no longer travel as she used to. She can't eat what she wants to. She can't go where she wants to go. And as her pregnancy progresses, it becomes more and more and more difficult. And finally, the date of birth has come, the time for her to deliver this child. And she goes into the theater or the delivery room. May Allah reward our mothers and our wives. May Allah reward our mothers and our wives what they undergo to bear our children. Wallah, my respected brothers and elders, unfortunately today, if I do not send my daughter to university, I feel as though she is not intelligent. If my wife does not stand side by side with me in my business, I feel she is not capable. If my mother does not drive on the road with me, I feel she is not intelligent enough. Wallah, Allah has made every woman intelligent. Allah has made woman capable. Allah has made woman strong. Allah has made woman talented. But in the lane that Allah has created them for. In this world, if a train is derailed, if it goes off the track, how can it reach its destination with safety? When we will remove our woman from the lane Allah has created for them, when we will expect them to compete with men in our field, how can they be expected to reach the akhirat with safety? Nevertheless, she reaches that point. And ask any woman and she'll explain to you. The level of pain, such that she felt that my body would never be able to endure this. And then that child is born, and the child is put onto the breast of the mother, and the mother places her hand over the hand of the child, and looks into the eyes of that child, and in that one split second, she says, those 9 long difficult months are forgotten. And she says to her husband, I will do this 1,000,000 times for you. If this is the reward, I am ready for it. 9 difficult months forgotten in one moment. Ulama explained, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum carried the child of deen not for 9 months. For 9 years in Makkah Mukarramah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sent mustada'afin, the Sahaba were downtrodden. They were oppressed. They were weak. No permission to fight back. No permission to retaliate. Tortured on the streets of Makkah Mukarramah, carrying the child of deen, upholding the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, finally culminating in Amul Huzn, the year of sorrow, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is imprisoned in the valley of Abu Talib, and he loses Khadija radiallahu anha, his first support. He then loses Abu Talib, his beloved uncle who dies on kufr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam goes to Taif, there he is rejected. And when it felt as though the difficulty could not increase, the persecution could not become any more difficult, Allah now takes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this miraculous journey and gives the Sahaba now give birth to the child of Salah. And just as that mother, when she is given that child on her breast, and she puts her hand over the hand of the child, she forgets those 9 months of difficulty. When Sahaba received the gift of Salah, they also forgot the 9 years of difficulty. Now you have a direct link and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you can draw directly from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the lesson behind Mi'raj. The entire journey, the miracle that Allah created, why? So that the ummah till the day of Qiyamah will never forget what is the value of Salah in my life. Allah give myself, give all of us the understanding, my respected brothers and elders. When it comes to our salah, let us understand, there are 2 aspects. On one hand, we have what is known as ada. The 5 daily salah that we all have to read. And in the masjid for a meal. And when it comes to this, of course, it is extremely important. We have many ulama-i kiram in our communities. Go to them, find out from them, is my takbir-e-tahreema correct? Am I tying my hands correctly? Are my postures correct? Many people don't understand the mas'ala. If I am standing, I am about to start salah. If I do not say Allahu Akbar, verbally my salah has not started. Many of us unfortunately come into the masjid, we just raise our hands and tie our hands. Fuqaha say the salah has not started. Is my ruku correct? Is my sajda correct? Is my recitation of Quran correct? Shaykhul Hadith Muhafazur Rahman Sahib, Damu Barakatum, explains, just a few basic errors in tajweed can cause an entire salah to become corrupt and spoiled. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Not only myself. We have all understood the obligation that Allah has placed upon us with regard to our families. I have got to provide a shelter for them. I have got to provide clothing for them. I have got to give them the best education in this world. I will not stop short at giving them the best of this world. It should not be on the day of Qiyamah, my own wife, my own child comes and takes me to task, that you gave me a house, you gave me a car, you gave me clothing, you gave me food, but you did not teach me the deen of Allah. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Quran says, command your family with salah, and you yourself be steadfast upon it. What age must we bring our children to the masjid? Allahu Akbar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, command your children with salah at home when they are 7 years of age. Command them, make them habitual in reading salah. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرِ سِنِينَ. And when they reach 10 years of age, then discipline them, shout them, ensure that they become habitual in their salah. Why? Because in the deen of Allah, you are either a child or an adult. If you have not yet reached the age of bulugh, salah is not fard on you. But the moment a person becomes baligh, salah is fard on him. For our young sons, my respected brothers and elders, sometimes a boy is 15 years old already. In the eyes of Shariat, he is regarded as an adult. 15 lunar years. If we translate that into solar years, 14 years, 6 months, 2 weeks. If my son is 14 and a half years old, salah is fard on him. Just as I trust him with the house keys, I trust him to look after the children when I'm gone out. I trust him to hold my cell phone in his hand. I trust him with the business keys. I should also trust him to stand on the musalla. I should also enjoin salah upon him. This is the first responsibility. So one is the ada, the salah that we have to read every day. And the second aspect when it comes to our qada salah, those debts that we are owing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama give an example, somebody borrows ₹1 million from you. And when the date comes for him to pay you back, he comes to your house with a box of gifts, some sweets for your children, a frying pan for your wife, a bottle of itar for you, and he sits and has a cup of tea and he leaves. And on his way out you say to him, "Bhai, where's the ₹1 million that you owe me?" And this person becomes upset, angry. "What is wrong with you? Can't you see the gifts I brought for you? I made your children smile, I gave your wife a gift, I gave you a gift, and you worried about the ₹1 million. Which creditor will tolerate this? You'll say to the person, "Leave the gifts aside, pay me back the money that you owe to me." In the same way, we owe these debts to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is, of course, a very good action, very rewardable for us to wake up for tahajjud salah, to read nafil salah. The month of Ramadan, generally, we will find people waking up. But we should not forget the debt that we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Start now. Make this intention. I have 30 or 40 years of qada salah. Perhaps I changed my life recently. Or some sort of concern has come into me, I need to pay back Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama give a very, very simple solution. Start with the easiest, Fajr Salah. Just 2 rakats every day, read 2 extra Fajr Salahs. Wherever you find some time after Zuhar Salah, after Maghrib Salah, before you go to sleep, when you wake up in the morning, without any pen and page, without any calculation, if we start today, 27th of Rajab, next year, 27th of Rajab, 2 years of Fajr will already be covered. A very simple solution, if a person has to pass away in this condition, it is hoped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him for the debts that he owes to him. The month of Ramadan is coming, my respected brothers and elders. Time has already run out. Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi would give the example, if a person wants to paint the wall of his house, then nobody just buys a bucket of paint and starts painting. First he has to scrape off the old paint. And then he has to put the primer, and then the first coat, and the second coat. And finally he comes to the final coat, somebody looks at that wall, how beautiful. Looks like a brand new house. Like that, the month of Ramadan is coming. We cannot just paint over our gunas and sins. But we have to prepare from now, start scraping the old paint. Start getting rid of those things that are blocking our connection with Allah. And it starts on the musalla in the masjid. Allah has kept the solution to all of our problems in His deen. A person leaves the masjid, he's going to for some business deal, he's worried that I'm going to miss out on the deal. But that being who controls the heart of that businessman is waiting for you in the masjid. Every problem that a person has, financial, spiritual, physical, emotional, whatever difficulties, whatever challenges, each one of us know. Nobody can claim I've got a carefree life. Everybody has some worry, some concern, whatever it may be. We do not even need to speak to Allah, Allah understands. But stand before him on the musalla, cry before him, shed tears before him, ask Allah. The month of Ramadan is coming. Allah has given us this opportunity. Allah will give us an opportunity in 2 weeks' time again on the night of Bara'a to prepare ourselves for the month of Ramadan. I'll end with this example. A guest is coming from overseas, a very close family member or friend of yours. And he phones you and tells you, "I am expected to arrive at a certain time. Please ensure your house is ready for me." You say, "No problem. I'm ready to be your host for as long as you are here." And that guest arrives, he takes a taxi and he comes to your house and he knocks on the door and there is no response. He knocks on the door a second time, no response. A third time, he picks up the phone and he phones you. "Brother, I'm sorry, I forgot that you were coming." How will he feel? Am I welcome here or not? And then you say to him, "Just, the key is under the mat, you're more than welcome to make yourself at home." And the guest bedroom is down the hallway. And when he enters, he finds the bed is unmade. The linen is dirty. There's no clean towels available for him. No preparation of food has been made for him. This guest will think to himself, "I'm certainly unwelcome in this home. I might as well pack my luggage and go elsewhere." The month of Ramadan is as high profile a guest as they can be. And we all will be the hosts of the month of Ramadan. It should not be that when the guest of Ramadan comes to my house, I am unprepared. And the month of Ramadan does not feel welcome in my home and decides to leave and go to my neighbor's house. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make salah the focal point in our life. Respected brothers and elders, the teachings of deen are so vast. The lessons from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are so vast. But if we can just get this one thing right in our life, just our 5-time salah, just our 5-time salah, Allah will bring everything else and make it fall into place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, O my Allah, the month of Ramadan is on our doorstep, O my Allah. O my Allah, you surely love us, O my Allah, you have given us the opportunity to sit in your house, O my Allah. O my Allah, we have come with no ulterior motive. We have not come for any business deal, O Allah. We have not come to meet any friends, O my Allah. We have not come for any social event, O my Allah. But we are seated here for the love of your deen, for the love of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O my Allah, just as you took your Nabi on the journey of Mi'raj, O my Allah, make our salah Mi'raj for us also, O my Allah. O my Allah, make us muqimeen as-salah. Ya Allah, bring salah into our lives, O my Allah. Whatever qadha we have in our lives, Ya Allah, you make it easy for us to fulfill it and pay it back to you, O my Allah. O my Allah, you know whatever problems each and every one of us are facing. O my Allah, you become the solution to all of our problems. O my Allah, pull our hearts towards you, O my Allah. Ya Allah, even though we don't have the energy, Ya Allah, we don't have the zeal, we don't have the enthusiasm, O my Allah. O my Allah, we are weak, we are lazy, O my Allah. But O my Allah, we are confessing our ajizi, our helplessness before you. O my Allah, when you will pull us, who can pull back? O my Allah, if you will make a decision, who can decide against you? O my Allah, your power is unlimited. Your mercy is so vast, O my Allah. Cover us, shower your mercy upon us, O my Allah. Accept us, grant us life till the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make this Ramadan a turning point in our life. Accept us, our families, our progenies for the khidmat of deen. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ